Priya and Aura 101. Hello. Maybe repeating myself here, but anyway. And we were young in this new bhaktas, new beginners, you could say, which we still are, I would say. Some of us had this, you know, we had different interpretations, different understandings of what is the point with all this bhakti yoga. Some took it, well, yoga, you know, yogis, they sit and do all this. Difficult exercises, following these different difficult practices that require tolerating hardships and even suffering. In order to advance. And some, I guess, were more influenced by the Advaitas, the monks, very austere, very renounced, detached. Little similar also, you know, eating very simply and do everything very, because you shouldn't engage in sense enjoyment. In fact, you shouldn't have anything to do with this world because it's the world of Maya. So they often looked very serious. But then, as I've said, Prabhupada said that, writes that yogis can become hard and these Advaitas can become impersonal and also hard. But then, how about bhakti yoga? Well, we learned it's the highest form of yoga. So, and it includes all these other forms of yoga, so we, some of us then understood that to mean that then you have to be hard and renounced and living very heavy, austere life, like the Patanjali yogis and the Advaita monks and so on. Plus, you should do service to God and chant all those mantras and so on, following the sadhana of bhakti yoga. But then some took that sadhana much in the sense of those yogis and Advaitas. But then others of us understood it more that this bhakti sadhana, it's not meant for that, to develop detachment or whatever, or to perform tapasya in that sense of kind of putting yourself under hardships. But as practices meant to make us think of God and develop devotion to God, meaning that you do things as bhakti yoga means, as devotional activities, as you would do with a friend or whoever, beloved one. And that's the purpose of sadhana, including the japa meditation, for instance, which is not just about saying a mantra to quiet down the mind, still the mind, but the mantra itself being names of God, spiritual. So the meditation becomes a bit like sitting in front of the altar, and again, not just looking at a candle or something reminding you of the non-material. Of the oneness or whatever. But God as person. And in this way, we learn to, in our daily life eventually, relate to God personally. And that's what bhakti yoga is about. And that's the beauty of bhakti yoga, because when you say that Varaja Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga, that, you know, yes, and of course others, for them it's about vidya, knowledge, philosophy, and so on. Siddhanta. But then all this vairagya, the renunciation and the knowledge are all included in bhakti yoga. Meaning, yes, you stay away, of course, from things, especially lower modes of nature things. But rather than focusing on not this, not that, you focus on, yeah, nice things to do for Krishna, for God. So in that way, that includes the renunciation, because you were engaging in nice spiritual activities of bhakti yoga, service to God like that, working for God, thinking of God, singing, whatever it is, painting paintings for God, leading a country for God. In other words, one can use one's material nature as well, doing it service of God and of God's children. That is what bhakti yoga is. It's very natural, and it includes vairagya in a natural way, not as forced abstinence, but as Srila Prabhupada said, rather than trying to stay away from the bad habit, you develop a higher taste. you develop good habits, things you want to do, you prefer to do. That's the natural way. And then knowledge. Well, some are very philosophical and intellectual. And knowledge is about learning to understand Brahman. Knowledge about Brahman. That's what Brahmana, intellectual, means. That's what Brahmacharya, student, means. And then you can read thick books. But also when you become a personally engaged in bhakti, in service to God, in that personal relationship, then, well, Vidyavadjivanam, this is the life of knowledge. And even a simple-minded person, so to speak, a non-intellectual, not very intellectual person, can be wiser than the professor who has not understood. Bhagavan. Param Brahman. Yeah.